Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast, part of the center's efforts to cultivate dialogue about university teaching and learning among faculty, students, and staff. I'm your host, Rhett McDaniel, educational technologist here at the center. The CFT is producing a special series of podcasts highlighting student projects across a variety of disciplines. In this episode, CFT Director Derek Bruff attends a poster session where he talks with Hannah Pauly and Corey Peake, two members of a team who designed a chair for health clinics in low-resource areas that can screen patients for common cardiomyopathies. We join Derek on the floor of the poster session.
Nice to meet you.
So your name again?
Corey Peake.
Okay.
Hannah Pauly.
Hannah Pauly, great. So tell me a little bit about your project here.
So we're both senior biomedical engineers, and this is our senior design project. We work to develop a low-resource electrocardiogram chair.
What is an electrocardiogram chair?
Well, a basic electrocardiogram is used to take a heart rhythm. A regular electrocardiogram consists of 12 electrodes hooked up all over the body, one on each wrist, one on each ankle, and then 10 across the chest. But they're difficult to perform, difficult to interpret. It can be kind of invasive to ask people coming into the clinic, now please take your shirt off and let us put all the 10 leads across your chest. We wanted to simplify that and make it easier for these healthcare providers in low resource settings to use and understand.
So how did you go about doing that?
First, we performed a very thorough problem statement and needs assessment. So we first looked at the clinical flow that happens in these low resource environments, and we identified this plastic chair that was very ubiquitous. Different hemispheres, it was all over. And we also noticed that the clinical flow is not very optimized compared to these high resource settings where patients were found to be seated very often during waiting periods or during examination periods. And so we found a way to integrate this electrocardiogram into a part of the flow that is already occurring, which is seated in this chair.
Yeah, so the way we design this is so that it has two different levels of screening. So when a patient comes in, they'll be instructed to sit down in the chair and grip the two hand grips, and then a one lead EKG will be produced. And that is enough to diagnose several different heart irregularities. But then if something looks abnormal, we can hook them up to a third electrode, an ankle cuff that just Velcros around the ankle, and then with the three electrodes, you can collect six different traces of the EKG, which is much more clinically relevant even than just one lead. And so we found that using that third electrode, it took away a lot of the noise, it made it clear. If people's hearts are oriented differently, you can get a really good reading.
And that's still a lot less than the 12 that are usually used, right?
Yes, it's definitely more efficient, and it's just as clinically relevant, it turns out.
And very excitingly, they're not just able to be diagnosed and identified in these low-resource settings, but a lot of these low-resource settings are actually set up to treat them. They just need to be able to identify these conditions. So things like aspirin and different basic medications that are very familiar to high-resource settings, we could actually suggest these as treatments to patients after looking at one lead or six leads. Also, patients can be a basic readout from one lead even can give enough information on whether to recommend a pacemaker be implanted or not, and patients would be then recommended to go to a hospital to have this procedure done after getting a full EKG to make sure that the problem exists.
So it offers a bit of triage in a sense.
Yes. Yeah. So actually it's a triage chair, if you will, just a screening device that other triages and vitals can be collected from. We've discussed having a blood pressure cuff also. You could also obviously take a temperature while you are seated in this chair. A lot of basic screening can be put into this chair in collecting vitals in these clinics, which are currently not being collected.
Now, you said earlier that you basically did a scan of the environment in these types of low-resource settings. How did you go about that? I know many of the projects here had outside clients of some sort. Can you say a little bit about how you worked external to Vanderbilt?
One of our other team members, Kat Majors, she has done a good bit of work in low-resource settings. Last semester, she traveled to several different clinics in Honduras, Guatemala.
We have gotten a lot of exposure within our team, but our project advisor, Dr. Michael Besteros, is actually doing a Fulbright fellowship in South Africa. He has a lot of contacts in South Africa, and he spent time working there as well as a cardiologist. So he's familiar with the unique needs of this environment. So that's the information that we collected for suggesting this chair.
And maybe I missed that. Did you say he was affiliated with Vanderbilt?
Yes. So he is a cardiology fellow at Vanderbilt Cardiovascular Hospital.
What did you find most challenging about conducting this project?
I guess initially it was challenging to kind of come up with a design that would fit well into the setting. we knew that we wanted to have a simplified electrocardiogram, but aside from that, it was just a lot of really ideating around different solutions to come up with the best way to achieve that.
It's a very standard approach, taking the electrocardiogram, and in the first world, we would think nothing of placing these sticky pads on a patient, and we would think nothing of throwing them in the trash can afterwards. But these are considerations that need to be worked into the actual design, because consumables are a problem when you're dealing in these low-resource settings. So we wanted to come up with electrodes that would be permanent but also sanitary and able to be used repeatedly. So we ended up coming on these metal slabs that are on the electrode handles for ellipticals and treadmills, which is actually devices that are rarely broken. We went to a used equipment store and talked to them, and a lot of other parts, the belts and different things, break on these exercise equipment, but these electrodes don't break. So we got these donated, and they're very simple and very cheap. So that was a big part to, and then identify that we could run this using just a bare hand instead of using the electro gel that's very common. It's just, we have such great technology here that we haven't recognized that we can get maybe 98% of this information without using the top of the line, most expensive consumables.
I guess my last question for you guys is, as students, as seniors here, what are you taking away from this experience that you'll take with you in your future endeavors?
I just think it was really great to sort of get a chance to think about, like Corey was saying, to think about things from a low resource setting. I'm going to graduate school next year, and I know that I'm going to be doing things for high resource settings, like basically for the rest of my life, but I'm really excited that this gave me a chance to look at things from a different perspective.
And I'll also be going to graduate school, but I'll be going into the public health field, specifically global health. So this is a project that, when I was looking for projects, I wanted to make sure that it was working into my passions for these projects. So I think certainly looking at how to design solutions specifically for these low-resource settings, instead of designing solutions that can be modified a little bit and maybe fit into the flow, it was a really good learning experience to consider their needs first and make sure we are designing entirely around that solution. Because this chair would not be used in the United States. There's really no need for it. So it was really neat to consider them as the first client instead of as an afterthought.
Sure. It sounds like you considered not only what resources they would have, but what are the processes that they use in these clinical settings, so that it makes sense kind of almost from a cultural standpoint.
Absolutely. Because if it isn't fitting into the clinical flow, again, like Hannah said, with taking shirts off, when you're talking about a lot of these low-resource settings, especially in primarily Islamic settings, clothing is a very large concern. Women may not be allowed to be in the same room as a male healthcare provider, and these are just some considerations. So we want to make sure that this chair, certainly hands are going to be exposed, and it's a passive device, so there's no electricity being introduced into the body, so anyone could use it.
Did I hear that you guys were in some type of national competition with this?
We were. We submitted this into the competition. It was the Rice 360 Undergraduate Design Competition, specifically for low-resource settings. And so Kat Majors and I went to Rice University at the end of March and presented this in a competition with 18 other teams, and it was a really cool experience. It was great.
It's very neat to be accepted into that program, because most of the projects were legacy projects that were worked on for many years. In fact, the winner had been worked on for 7 years. So to be entered into the competition and be selected as a finalist after only a few months of working on this project was really encouraging.
Well, congratulations to your whole team, and thanks for taking time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast. You can view the show notes as well as leave comments or questions about this episode by visiting cft.vanderbilt.edu/blog/podcasts. If you'd like to share your thoughts, we encourage you to stop by our website and join the discussion. Vanderbilt instructors are also welcome to call the Center for Teaching at 322-7290 to arrange a meeting with a CFT consultant to talk about ways you can incorporate student projects in your class. Thanks again for listening. I've been your host, Rhett McDaniel.